Hey, Edith.
Yes, what?
What do you get when you cross a four-leaf clover with poison ivy?
I don't know. I'm afraid to say. What?
A rash of good luck.
Okay, I like it.
Oh!
I like that one.
Okay, yeah, I like it.
Hi, I'm Christy.
And I'm Edith. We're backyard gardeners from Colorado.
And neighbors.
And friends.
And we love sharing our gardens with you.
We're not experts. We just learned a lot about gardening from the mistakes we made along the way.
So welcome to Upside Down Tulips, the spring episode.
A fun podcast that celebrates gardening gone wrong.
Edith, are you excited about spring?
I am so excited I wet my plants.
Upside Down.
Hello, gardeners and wannabe gardeners and people who like spring.
Are people going to recognize my voice right now? I haven't even introduced
Who are you?
I'm Edith. Oh. I used to be on this all the time. You think I'm a stranger who walked into your office?
It is kind of nice to be back in the basement, isn't it?
I love it.
Because I've been getting my basement remodeled. And so
for
this is,
me, you're so nice.
For you, yes. For just me. For you, Edith. And so this is really like my first time back in our recording studio since our Persephone period.
Okay, let's talk about the new schedule we're doing.
Well, we have a little surprise for everybody, and that is now we're going to be doing Upside Down Tulips once a season, which means essentially four times a year.
Yeah, yeah. For that, however, plus Edith. Hello, I'm back.
Because Edith is back. Yeah. And you know, we just got busy, didn't we, Edith?
We got so busy. We got so busy. And how many times really can you talk about tomatoes? That's just my thing.
I could talk about tomatoes forever.
I know you could, Christy. I know.
But you know, when we started this podcast, it was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we were out of work, twiddling our thumbs with all this creativity and all this time in the garden.
I would like to take a moment to thank everybody that has listened to us then and now.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Because that kind of saved us, I think. We had nothing to do.
Yeah.
And this was a whole new thing like I had never done before. And I was so pleased when people started to listen.
Wasn't that nice?
It was so nice.
Well, like, let's give a thank you out to people who were actually writing. Like Ashley, I just want to say thank you so much for your nice note, Ashley, that you sent us wondering where we were and when we were coming back. And a big thank you to Jennifer from North Glen who just joined our garden party.
Thank you, Jennifer.
So that's it's really nice that people missed us.
Yeah, it
is. And it feels good to be back talking about gardening.
Yeah.
I can give you a little update about Upside Down Tulips, Edith.
Mm-hmm, please
so,
do.
So, you know, we have charted in the United States, and we were very excited about that. And we've also charted in the United Kingdom, because, of course, those folks are big gardeners.
Yeah, they are.
And we charted in the Netherlands, another group of folks that garden a lot. And then we charted in South Africa, which I went, that's kind of weird.
Wow.
But then it made sense, because South Africa was colonized by the Dutch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they're gardeners as well.
Yes. Well, we also started to chart in Namibia.
Wow.
Which is in the southern part of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I thought, well, that's very interesting. And I thought, well, I wonder if Namibia was also colonized by the Dutch, but they were colonized by the Germans.
Oh, my.
So I did a little research in Namibia, and maybe this is why we started to chart in Namibia. Recently, local authorities and Namibia's development partners revived urban gardening to reduce unemployment and poverty and encourage better nutrition, skills transfers, and improve self-sufficiency.
No kidding. You know, we could do that here, too. That's kind of what our thing has been.
Yeah, I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, I am getting a kick out of that. That's great.
Okay, and let's get to the really big news, Edith.
Yeah.
How's your garden going?
Well, it's going good, you know. Before we get into my particular garden,
you know what I read? Yeah. What?
We are now zone 6. Because of climate change, we have upped the zone.
Wow, that makes sense.
Doesn't that make total sense?
And friends, you know, we are in the Denver metro area, and we've been 5B for as long as I've lived here, which is over 20 years, and now they're saying we're zone 6.
And I'll tell you, some of my garden update really proves that we are zone 6. For example, I had Swiss chard that overwintered, perpetual spinach that overwintered.
Which would make sense, hence its name.
Total. Yeah, it's not named like once in a while spinach. When I feel like it's spinach. and I'm so happy to report that my lettuce is everywhere over the garden, self-sown, like wow. It does. My garlic is up and looking good. My leek is up and looking very good. And I've winter sowed, which you taught me how to do. And the one thing that's up is cabbage.
That's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Christy, you gave me a beautiful red poppy last year that I think you winter sowed.
Yes.
It bloomed, and the next day the hailstorm came. So I got it for one day.
Oh.
But this year, it has 10 babies all around it. I don't know how it did it. It self-sowed itself.
I love those poppies.
Oh, I'm going to have a whole little bunch of them.
They're American Legion poppies, which is the kind like they have in at Westminster Abbey.
For World War I.
Yes, yes. I love those.
Well, anyway, so thank you again for that gift that's going to just keep coming back year after year.
Oh, that is just I love that. Because you were saying you had trouble growing poppies.
Yes, I cannot grow a poppy.
And now you have.
And now, thanks to you, I have.
You're a poppy mommy.
I don't know if I like that. Poppy mommy. Okay, I like it. Okay, we're good. What about your garden?
Well, friends may remember that last fall, my eyes are bigger than my stomach, and I bought 150 tulips and daffodils that were on sale.
Oh, my God.
And when I had absolutely no time to plant them. Well, Edith, you know, one day I just, you know, got those suckers in the ground.
Yeah.
And it was cold, and it was in November, but they're all coming up. Bless their hearts.
Great.
I'm really excited about the daffodils because I could just always say you could never have enough daffodils.
Yeah.
They're all coming up. And even though we had that snow that was, what did we get? Like 15 inches of snow?
Yeah, we had so much snow. Yeah.
Even though we got all that snow and all the daffodils got squished, when the snow melted, they all popped back up again.
Yeah.
So bless their hearts for that. And I have some little things coming up. I have my garlic coming up, like you,
mm-hmm.
Chives.
And, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my rhubarb is coming up. And rhubarb looks so weird when it comes up.
Doesn't it, though?
It looks like some sort of weird alien baby.
Embryo.
It looks yeah.
like an embryo yeah. from outer space.
Yeah, it looks really weird.
Yeah, like it's going to pop out of your stomach.
Yeah, yeah. It looks yeah. like something out of the movie Alien.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it
really absolutely. Does. And then also throughout my vegetable garden, the bachelor buttons have all reseeded. And what I do with that, folks, is when I see the little bachelor buttons, is I dig a hole where I want them to be, mm-hmm. which is on the edges, and then I dig up that little bachelor button and pop it back in. And they're hardy little suckers, and so I just move them where I want them to be.
So is echinacea. My echinacea reseeds itself everywhere. I just do the exact same thing and put it right where I want it.
And now's a great time to do that.
Yeah, it is.
They don't mind being moved so much.
Right. Except right now, it's really snowing. So.
Well, you know, yeah, we should tell folks this, is that sometime, like around a couple hours ago, it started to grapple. Do you ever see that at all? That what it looks like, Dippin' Dots snow?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'd never seen that until I moved to Colorado. So
yeah.
it was grappling, and then it started to rain, and then it started to snow. And then, did you hear the thunder at your house?
No.
Yeah, we had thunder snow.
Wow, I love thunder snow.
And it was coming down pretty hard. But now, is it still coming down? I'm looking out the window.
It was when I drove over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still coming down. I'm looking out the window.
Yeah. So, well, snow in March is not the worst thing in the world. We need the moisture and things will pop back and they'll be okay. And the only thing that's been a bummer about it is that I'm very behind in my garden cleanup.
Christy.
Edith.
I have a whole thing that I wanted to say about that, which is like this major tip that I found. You're not behind. You are exactly where you need to be. Because remember how, I don't know if you ever did this, but I always cleaned up in the fall, right?
Oh, I used to,
yes. Have you tried to pull out a cabbage or a broccoli? The roots are still vital. You can break your back pulling that out.
Sunflower stalks.
All that stuff.
Terrible.
Corn. Well, I have just started to clean up, do my garden cleanup. Right after that last snow,
uh-huh.
comes out easy peasy. You barely have to touch it and out it comes. So what you've done is you've nourished the ground and the little microbes in the ground by leaving them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the erosion was lessened. You did great, in other words.
Oh, you made me and probably a lot of other people feel a whole lot better.
Hey, I am never going to do garden cleanup in the fall again. I'm always going to wait until spring.
Yeah.
Early to mid-spring.
I wish I would have I wish I would have been able to start a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you that much. But you're right. It's, you know, it's where you're at.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to plant right now? You're fine. You're just fine.
And I, you were saying that you winter sowed cabbage.
I did.
Well, you know, remember last year I winter sowed over 30 jugs.
I do remember that.
Do you know how much I've winter sowed?
No.
Zilch.
You have been really busy. Super busy.
But it's not too late. And we'll talk about that coming up because our topic for this spring is our favorite garden mistakes of last year, what we're looking forward to this year, and our favorite spring garden tips, all coming up.
Mm-hmm. Coming up.
But before that, we do have a brand new pot play.
Okay. This is one that you wrote?
Yes. I was inspired by that great song from the 80s, Willie Nelson and Julio Iglesias. Remember that song? For all the girls I've loved before.
I do remember that song. Yeah.
So this is inspired by that.
Oh, good. Nice.
To all the plants I've killed this spring, with my neglect, they lost their bling. I'm sorry, little buds, you didn't last for long. To all the plants I've killed this spring.
To all the plants I once adored, now lying lifeless, so ignored. I tried to water you, but nowhere near enough. To all the plants I've killed, it's rough.
The winds of change are always blowing, and even though I toil and pray, I even cover when it's snowing, but I killed you anyway.
Plum tree, adorned with fruit so fine, your branches strong, my garden's shrine. Then fungus took its toll. There's no way to console where once you thrived. It's just a hole.
Rosemary, fragrant shrub so fine, your scent divine, a cherished sign. You flavored meals with grace, now gone without a trace, to all the herbs that I've erased.
The winds of change are always blowing, and every time I plant and sow, I just can't seem to keep you growing, and in the compost pile you go.
To all the plants we've killed this spring,
who traveled in and out our yard,
we're glad you came along.
We dedicate this song
to all the plants we've killed this spring. Friends, don't forget, if there are words or terms you don't understand, you can always go to the informative and sometimes humorful Upside Down Dictionary at upsidedowntulips.com, or you can click on the link in our show notes.
Nice work making up a new word, humorful. I love that. That's great. Hey, speaking of humor and or things that are serious, Christy, I've done a little bit of research. You know how much I love research.
Yes. Right?
Okay. So I put together a list that I found online of the safest and most dangerous things, vegetables and fruits to buy, not organic.
Oh, at the grocery store.
At the grocery store. Because, you know, not everybody has a garden. Not everybody can afford these awful prices.
Mm.
So the safest, let's start with the safest things to buy that are not organic, okay? Ready? Avocado, sweet corn, pineapple. I like the noises. You can go, yum, and do stuff like that. That's interesting. Okay. Avocado, sweet corn, pineapple, onion. Noise.
Yes. Oh, ooh.
Papaya, sweet peas, asparagus, honeydew, kiwi, cabbage, watermelon, mushrooms, mango, sweet potato, and carrots are the they will have the least amount of pesticides.
Gotcha.
That's what we're interested in, eating the least amount
of pesticides. Yes. So any of these that you just listed,
any of those that I just listed,
and if they're not noted as organic in the grocery store,
are still pretty darn safe.
And they'll be cheaper.
And they'll be like 50% cheaper usually. Yeah. What about the least safe?
Yeah, I'm interested in that. And
this is kind of a sad little list, but strawberries. Oh, yeah. It's make the list every year. Spinach, kale, grapes, peaches, pears, nectarines, peppers, apples, cherries, blueberries, and green beans.
Not green beans.
Green beans. Do you notice something here? Almost all of these. Well, not all. Some of them are close to the ground. The closer
to the ground, there's a connection.
the easier it is for pests to get up there. And the other thing is, like with peaches, pears, nectarines, apples, it's not so much the pesticide, it's the fungicide. Because they travel across the country sometimes, and they don't want them to rot. So they spray them with preservatives so that they don't go bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tomatoes wasn't on, was tomatoes on either
list? Tomatoes were not on the list of this top 30 stuff that I have.
No. Wow.
No.
That, I think that's very fascinating. Thank you for sharing that, Edith.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. So as we look back on last year, Edith.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite garden mistakes?
Planting broccolini. Remember? Because after that hailstorm, we bought anything that the nurseries had anymore.
Oh, I panic bought.
I panic bought, and you helped me panic buy. And the broccolini was a huge disappointment. And,
okay, I'm going to ask a very stupid question.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me the difference between broccoli and broccolini? I know they're different. They're totally different plants, right?
Yeah, well.
It's not even just like baby broccoli. It's a totally different.
It's like broccoli pieces. It's little tiny pieces of broccoli.
Okay.
Rather than one nice big head of broccoli.
Gotcha.
So to me, I didn't like it. I mean, it was fine, but not worth it.
Not worth the space that it took up in your garden.
Not worth the space. Exactly.
Broccolini.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I don't know what I did wrong, but I only got 2 spaghetti squash. I usually get 12 to 15.
Yeah.
And I only got 1 curry squash.
Oh, that's your favorite.
It is my favorite. I only had 1. And it must have been the hail. It must have got such a late start that it ran out of time.
You remember, folks, we got hail in the last day of June. June 30th.
It was a bad.
Everything was gone.
Yeah.
And the plus part about it is a lot of things came back, but we still have a harvest, but it wasn't as big. But that wasn't our fault.
No,
the
not
hail.
Our fault.
You know, that wasn't our mistake.
No.
That was just Mother Nature reminding us who's in charge.
Yeah. And it'd be like I'd walk out to my garden, it would scream at me, I forgive you. You tried.
We did try. Well, you know, one of my favorite garden mistakes last year, Edith, was that I forgot to cover some things when it got super, super cold out.
Oh.
And one of them was my forsythia.
Oh, no.
My forsythia, forsooth forsythia, it is dead. Oh. I went out there today. And I thought for a while last year it was going to come back.
Uh-huh.
But now I realize that the green stuff that was surrounding it was just a weed.
Oh, I'm
sorry. So I might have nurtured a weed.
Oh.
And then I have another plant I forgot to cover also, Edith.
Yeah.
And I am, I regret to inform you.
Rosemary.
My rosemary died.
So did mine.
Oh, not again.
So did mine. Dead
your
as a doornail.
One. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. So we both killed our rosemary.
Again.
And it's totally my fault because I would always, when it would get below 20 degrees, I would make sure it was covered.
Uh-huh.
But this last time, I just didn't do it. So I guess that means we go to the nursery and buy a new rosemary.
Yep. I might just do that every year as a matter of course.
You know what? The one I bought was $4.
Yeah.
So I guess that's not the end of it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other mistakes?
No. No,
oh,
I don't
more.
Think so. You do yours, and then I'll tell you what I loved about last year,
okay.
The new stuff I did.
Well, I don't know if my mistake is not having faith in a plant. So I was having some remodeling work done in my house. They were replacing windows, and the carpenter who was replacing the windows in my basement totally chopped down to the ground my heirloom peace rose.
Oh my gosh, that was such a beautiful plant.
To the ground. And I also didn't cover it when it was below zero. So I'm thinking, gone. Well, Edith, I was out there, and guess what?
It's back?
Its little sprouts are coming back. Now, I don't know if it's still going to be a peace rose. Because, you know, sometimes if a rose dies all the way to the ground, it'll go back to the stalk that it was hybridized on.
Oh, I did not know that.
So, but this is a very old peace rose.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that it'll still come back as a peace rose, or it's potentially could come back as an entirely different rose. But I guess the mistake I made was not having faith in it because I just assumed it was gone. I was this close to digging it up, actually, when I saw that happen.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you didn't.
Then I also planted way too many cucumbers last year.
Oh my gosh, so did I.
This was after the hailstorm and everything got smushed. Mm-hmm. And so I panic bought plants. And remember, you gave me a bunch of cucumber seeds? Mm-hmm. I planted every single one of them. And the mistake wasn't that I had all these cucumbers. The mistake was is that I had too many and I couldn't train them up my little trellis. Oh. So they just took over the whole garden.
Oh.
And then you know how cucumber vines are they're so sensitive that I couldn't like get my way back into this whole big mass of cucumbers. And so I had these cucumbers there that would just they were overripe.
Oh.
You know, like you gave me all those lemon cucumbers, Edith.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be like the size of a golf ball.
Uh-huh.
I would go back there and I would find baseball size. All yellow cucumbers, just terrible.
Christy, I am never planting lemon cucumbers again. And I'll tell you why. Because they have those bristly skin.
Oh, they hurt like heck. I hated that.
So, and it's like trying to peel a golf ball. It's so hard.
And then what was left?
Just a little nub and seeds inside the nub. So
a lot of seeds. I thought they were a very seedy cucumber.
Yeah, I did too. So I'm not going to plant them anymore.
So that was a huge mistake.
Yeah,
and then
me too.
And I also wasn't really good at like keeping down the mildew on it. I should have been out there more, you know, spraying.
Yeah.
And I actually had I had a whole gallon of it. And if you want to know my recipe for powdery mildew, it's a gallon of water, a tablespoon of baking soda, and a half a teaspoon of liquid non-detergent dishwashing soap or like Castile.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I even had it out there. And if I just would have gotten out there more often, I could have maybe tempered down. So then the powdery mildew just kind of took over.
Yeah.
And then it jumped to the pumpkins and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big mistake.
Well,
enough of the mistakes, shall we? Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's talk about things we want to look forward to.
I want to say the things that I loved last year, new things I planted, watermelon radish.
Ooh.
This is a very large radish that is white on the outside and red on the inside.
Oh, that's so unique.
It's so beautiful. I think it's a Japanese
radish. What did it taste like?
It tastes like a radish, but not quite as sharp.
Okay, gotcha.
So good. And I told, did I tell you about my bean ladder?
No.
Where I have an old ladder and I kind of
dug
it into the ground.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now, yes.
It was a spectacular success, my bean ladder. Corn. I grew corn last year. It was so good. You don't need to grow a whole lot to have it cross-fertilize.
Oh, nice.
Not at all. I had like 10 plants.
Oh, wow.
That's enough.
Did you have any trouble with the squirrels, Edith?
Not so horrible because I'd be out there a lot, you know, and they couldn't – They would take the ones on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it wasn't as horrible as it was.
Yeah, like I don't mind sharing a little bit, but for crying out loud,
exactly.
Don't take the whole thing.
Exactly, yeah. So that was my last year.
What are you looking forward to this year?
I'm planting ground cherries.
Ground
cherries? Ground cherry, which is a whole, it's like a family, it's like an heirloom thing. You can make jam out of it. Sprawling, tangy, and sweet fruits.
We grew that a couple years ago.
Yes, I grew one, and then I ignored it. But
yeah,
this year, I'm really going to try.
Oh, good.
What's so beautiful about them is they come in a papery husk, like a tomatillo.
Uh-huh.
So interesting. I'm going to grow kohlrabi this year, which I've never grown before.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
I hope it's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
I have a whole new bed to plant. So that whole bed in the front
that
I did with the layering and the
cardboard and all that.
And so I planted some annuals there, but now I think I'm going to look at planting some, maybe some xeriscapic perennials out there on the front.
That's
so
pretty. Yeah.
All things to design and think about. So I'm excited about
that. Oh, that's fun.
And, I'm excited, Edith, because for the first time I have successfully saved sunflower seeds.
Oh.
And I have so many sunflower seeds. Would you like some?
Sure.
I saved all those mammoth sunflowers.
Oh, they were so beautiful.
Which I think used to be called Russian mammoth, but then they changed their marketing plan.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're anti-Russian.
That's right.
Sunflowers.
So I have a bucket full of seeds.
Oh my gosh,
I'm happy
love
to
some,
share
some
with you.
Seeds.
I'm very excited to see, you know, and because they're an heirloom seeds won't always come out true.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how they do. But I'm really excited to have, I'm just going to fill up that whole back fence full of sunflowers. And then I bought a new packet of seeds too. I got some gourd loofah seeds.
Oh my gosh, that you can actually make a loofah sponge out
yeah,
of.
Yeah, does that sound fun? So I'll give you some because it feels like there's quite a bit in here, but it says this unusual gourd is fun to grow and provide you with long-lasting, natural, eco-friendly sponges.
Wow.
So after the last chance of spring frost.
Okay. Okay.
So lots to look forward to.
You want some kohlrabi seeds?
Yeah, let's trade.
Okay, let's trade.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Okay, so how about another pop play, and then we'll come back and talk about our favorite spring tips.
Okay.
This is GCM, Gardener's Classic Movies. We now return to The Wrath of Grapes.
Ma, these grapevines just ain't growing like they used to. They're angrier than a hornet in a bee's nest.
I reckon these grapes done had enough of being stomped on and squeezed dry. They're raising hell, Tom.
We're tired of being squished into wine and turned into raisins. We demand grape equality! Grapeality!
Well, I'll be damned. These grapes done gone and bunched themselves, and they are raising hell.
We gotta stand with them, Tom. It's time for the grapes to have their say.
What's all this whining about? These grapes belong to me, and they'll do as they're told.
Not anymore, Mr. Sourwine. These grapes have found their voice, and they ain't gonna be silenced.
We're taking a stand against grape injustice.
You'll regret crossing me, Jodes. I'll crush you like I crush these grapes.
Ma, look! The grapes are growing again.
It's a miracle, Tom. Nature's on our side.
You know, Ma, there's something mighty powerful about standing here in the midst of all this rain. It's like nature itself is speaking to us, reminding us that even in the hardest of times, there's still hope. I've seen a lot in my days. Seen folks struggle, seen them suffer. But I also seen something else. I seen the strength that comes from bunching together, from fighting for what's right, no matter what the odds. Them grapes, they showed me something today. They showed me that even the smallest among us can rise up, can demand change, can refuse to be crushed under the weight of oppression. I reckon growing a garden ain't all that different from fighting for what's right. Sometimes you plant them seeds, and you water them, and you wait. And it seems like nothing's gonna happen. But you gotta keep going. Keep believing that one day, them seeds gonna sprout and bloom. Well, maybe it's like they say. Fellow ain't got a garden of their own, just a little piece of a big garden. The one big garden that belongs to everybody.
Then what, son?
Then it don't matter. Then I'll be all around in the soil. I'll be everywhere. Wherever you look. Wherever there's a weed so tender shoots can thrive, I'll be there. Wherever there's a thirsty seedling yearning for a drop, I'll be there. Wherever there's a pesky squirrel stealing a nibble, I'll be there. If Mother Nature knows why, I'll be there in the way the stems sway in the breeze. I'll be there in the way the tomatoes blush as they ripen. I'll be there in the way the butterflies flutter around blossoms. I'll be there in the way the sunflowers turn towards the light. And when our seeds sprout and our harvests swell, why, I'll be there too. So, don't you dare give up on that garden of ours. Keep tending to it. Keep loving it. keep believing in it. 'Cause I reckon that garden, just like this world of ours, got a whole lot of forgiveness in it. And as long as we keep trying, keep believing, I reckon it'll forgive us our mistakes and keep on growing, just like it always does.
So here are some of our favorite tips for spring gardening. I'm going to start off with one, Edith.
Go ahead.
This is when it's a good time to get out into the garden.
Okay.
It's hard to tell. And it'd be different for everybody across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So wait until the soil is no longer wet enough to form a ball in your hands.
Yeah, because then you'll compact the soil, make it hard for the plants to grow.
For example, we're getting all this rain and snow. And yeah. Even though in a couple of days it might be nice and sunny in Denver and everything gone.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to resist from going out there.
Yeah.
A good rule of thumb, no matter where you live, is that wait until the temperatures are consistently above 50 degrees during the day for at least a week.
That's
and
good.
That'll help things dry out a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
What about you?
I have a tip for any time, really. You know, we've always talked about how good coffee grounds are in the compost. Well, I read where if you take coffee grounds and put it around the plant, it keeps the moisture in.
Oh.
Doesn't that make sense?
That's great for people in Colorado.
Absolutely. A half-inch layer of fresh coffee grounds around your plants, it'll keep the soil moist and protect them from pests and disease.
Shout out to Moist.
Shout out to Moist. And you know, coffee grounds have nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. Three organic ingredients really necessary for a healthy garden.
We throw our coffee grounds with the filter in the compost bin.
I do that too.
Yeah. And tea bags also.
Me too.
They go right in the compost
But
bowl.
I'm going to put it directly into the
nice.
Garden.
Yeah. Skip this middleman stuff, Edith.
Yeah. And you know, worms love coffee grounds.
Does Starbucks still give away coffee grounds? Remember when they used to do that?
I know. They should. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. They used to be like, I used to see that, like coffee shops would have like a thing, like take coffee.
It
would
just
be like sitting outside.
Oh, that's right.
Or do you have
to ask?
Seen that.
Maybe you have to ask.
Yeah. Because what a waste that would be going away.
Absolutely.
If you have ornamental grasses and if you lift yours up for winter interest, you can cut them back.
That's humorful.
I know. I tell you, the winter interest of my ornamental grasses is pretty sad because it just got smushed by all the snow. So they all just look like like really sad, hairy,
Christy,
floppy things.
My winter interest is my couch.
Nice. That's nice. Well, as you don't have to wait for a certain time to cut them back. You could cut them. You don't have to wait for new growth to start to happen like you would for anything else. And you can cut your ornamental grasses down to the few inches above the ground. And don't forget, a great way to do that is you could tie them up with a bungee cord and cut them with a... I use my Japanese hori knife to cut mine, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Do you want me to have a tip?
Mm-hmm.
My turn for a tip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's about adding baking soda to the compost pile. I'm going to do it this year. I've never done this. It contributes to healthier soil because the balance of the pH levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a natural deodorizer. So to use this, mix a half cup of baking soda in 1 gallon of water. Sprinkle the solution over the top of your compost.
Oh.
And you can also add a tablespoon directly onto the pile frequently throughout the year.
Wow. And so it helps with the acidity level, the pH level.
It helps with the pH level. And if your neighbors think your compost pile is stinky.
Oh, that would be, yes.
You know, you can make it smell a little bit fresher.
Boy, you know, can I tell you a weird thing?
What?
I think my compost pile smells wonderful.
I think mine does too. Even when it's stinky, I don't
care. Yeah, I love that smell.
Yeah, me too.
Have I turned my compost pile yet this year?
Probably not.
I haven't turned it in a year. So.
I believe you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's a great tip about when to plant, because when to plant can be confusing at times. And the best tip I can give folks is to know when your frost date is. In order to know when it is, it's best to start planting in spring. You should know when your average frost-free date is. And that is, as you might guess, the date that is fairly likely you will no longer get any frost. Many plants aren't able to tolerate frost, and by knowing this date, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point earlier, Edith, where you said that the Denver metro area is now zone 6,
mm-hmm.
that would imply that our last frost date has moved also.
Yeah. Yeah.
People have often said when I first moved here, don't plant anything until
Mother's Day.
And that is no longer true.
No.
I gamble a little bit, but on average, we're at May 4th now.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes the hail will come, but then, you know, you just replant.
And, you know,
it's not like it's not like they're so big that they're destroyed and you're set back for weeks and weeks.
It's still a good time.
It's still a good time. Yeah. Yeah.
And the nurseries are still nicely stocked then anyways.
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a really good tip. Oh, okay. Now I remember. Okay. Talking about frost dates. If you start your seeds inside, you know, in little seed cups, what are they called? Little seedling trays.
Mm-hmm.
Read the back of the seed packet, and it will tell you, plant 4 weeks before the last frost, or 6 weeks. Again, another reason to find out your frost date.
I'll put a link in the show notes for people, honey. You can find your own frost date.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah, that is a really good tip.
Yeah.
As we've said before, there's so much information on seed packets.
Yeah.
Especially if you like botanical interests, which also has information inside the seed packet, too.
Yeah.
That's always great. I think, and just on lines of that, here's another interesting tip, is that people don't think they can plant now in March.
You know, I have planted my peas, but I have a feeling they rotted because of the huge snow we had. There's always that, you know.
There's always that.
But you can also plant, what else? Radishes. I mean, my parsley's up. Things are up.
Yeah. We would often plant on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, often.
But we had 15 inches of snow.
Right.
So I guess the exception to this is don't plant in the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't plant in the snow. But you can directly sow outside kohlrabi, kale,
mm-hmm.
collards, Chinese kale, peas, onion, radishes, spinach, lettuce, and turnips. And 2 weeks after that, you can plant beets, carrots, potatoes, Swiss chard, and parsnips.
Mm-hmm.
So next weekend, if we get this nice weather, I'm going to start planting all my greens.
Yeah. What is it today? Oh, wow. It's Easter on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
that's mm-hmm. a, let's go out and plant.
I was going to say something really unholy. I won't say anything.
Time for a record scratch.
Oh, good one. Good one. One thing I wanted, you said don't sow in the snow. However, you told me once, if you have flower seeds, if you throw them on top of the snow.
Poppies,
that's right. And then it melts and the seeds go straight into the ground.
Yes. And, you know, I did not, since I didn't do any winter sowing at
mm-hmm,
all,
mm-hmm.
I might actually try to throw some poppy seeds out on this snow that we just have right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also good for people to know, is that you can still winter sow even in March. In fact, it's a great tip, is that you can winter sow in spring. And a reminder that if you don't know what winter sowing is, you can always check out episode 25, Take Out Your Jugs and Learn How to Winter Sow,
mm-hmm.
which is an outdoor seed starting method. But you can start sowing tender annuals, including flowers and vegetables that do not require stratification. And stratification is the method of a little seed out there on top of the soil, but the freezing and the thawing of the earth will rub off the hard exterior yeah. of the seed and cause it to germinate.
Like nature's way of preparing the seed.
Yeah.
For us. Yeah.
Another tip, it's also a great time to divide. Spring, isn't it?
I don't know. Divide what?
Plants.
You mean like iris, stuff like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Divide any kind of plant. Yeah. Divide and transplant your plants.
Yeah. You know, I've never been very good at that.
You know, maybe you should take this tip then, Edith.
Maybe I'm too busy churning my compost.
Yeah. Oh.
Have you thought of that?
Oh, wow. Wow. You know,
she missed me, folks. She really missed me.
I deserve that. You're right. You are very right. Okay. Can I also give another tip, Edith? Don't touch your roses right now.
I'm so glad you said that because I wondered about that yesterday. I thought I should cut. Nope. Got to wait till Christy tells me
it's time. Nope. In fact, my rose that was cut down to the ground, I'm still a little nervous about it right now because it's getting all those tender new shoots.
Uh-huh.
And if it's broken its dormancy too early, which our plants might have done, you're just in danger of the tender growth being damaged during spring frosts or freezes.
Okay.
So I wait until end of April.
Okay, end of April. You got it.
Yeah, to trim my roses.
I will remember that.
Is that enough tips? We got enough tips?
Yeah, your roses are so beautiful. Absolutely. I will take your word on every rose tip you have.
I'm going to get to enjoy my roses this year, too, which will be nice.
Because
last year in June, I was out of town for most of it.
Yeah.
And so I came back, and most of the roses were done, and I'm thinking, oh, I'll be home in June, so I'm going to really enjoy all the roses.
Good.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
What's wrong?
For the first time in a long time.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what time it is?
I think it's mailbag time.
Ring, ring.
Oh, he rang twice. Open the bag.
Open the very heavy
bag. Look, I have one from Catherine.
Our
dear friend Catherine. Okay. Oh, look at her. Look how nice she is. Dear Upside Down Tulips, she's talking about last season's mistakes. Once again, I underestimated how often I needed to water the garlic and the strawberries. Mm. I got some garlic, but the bulbs weren't very big, so this year I'm resolved to water them more frequently. Hopefully, I didn't kill off all my strawberries, but I know I lost some due to not watering enough.
So did I. Mm. I can totally relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Now, before the snow, she's talking about that big snow we had. I had tulips coming up 4 inches high, tiny buds on the lilacs, red clover coming up, and tons and tons and tons of tiny little larkspurs have appeared. The snow will give everyone a huge bump towards spring. I know that my rhubarb will sure appreciate it.
Oh, sure, the creepy alien fetuses that are erupting from her yard.
Now she's talking about trees. You know how much we love trees. Mm-hmm. I had my honey locust tree's canopy thinned out and trimmed before this big storm.
Ooh.
So smart. You know, I lost a fourth of my peach tree because it took off the biggest branch.
Oh, no.
It hadn't leafed out, so I didn't think it would hurt it, but it did. I hope it makes it. It might not. Okay. Anyway, so she was smart enough to have it thinned and trimmed out. I also had it and the Kentucky coffee tree fertilized well. I don't know what a Kentucky coffee tree is.
I have read about these because when I was looking at getting a new tree for my front yard, they're apparently very nice for dry areas.
Really? Okay. Now, here's what she learned from her arborist.
Mm.
The best time to water trees is early, early in the morning. Think sunrise or just before. Water at the drip line for 30 to 40 minutes at a time. Think of this watering like a soaking rain. If we water our established trees 40 minutes at a time, we probably don't need to water but once every 3 weeks.
Oh.
That's what I know this spring that is new and different. Thank you, Catherine.
So, Edith, are you going to get up at sunrise?
No, never, never. Nope. If it doesn't rain, they're just going to have to be dry.
Yeah. I didn't water my trees at all this winter.
You didn't?
No, I should have.
I did once, only once, and then all this snow came. So I think we got saved because of that.
Yeah, maybe, or that might just be my watering my mistake for next year.
So. Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not.
Do you have a letter?
I do. This one is from our dear friend Karen, a.k.a. The Squirrel, and all our pod plays.
Oh, yeah.
And also another fabulous co-host we've had. Hello, Christy and Edith, and all Upside Down Tulip listeners. As I sit under a weighted blanket of concrete snow, I relish the opportunity to think about our beautiful garden from last year. So many things went right. Best broccoli in years. Okay, good for her, because my broccoli was awful at aphids. And your broccolini was?
Not great.
Not great, okay.
No.
But alas, when we celebrate our successes, we must also face our deficits. Or as Poison once opined, every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn. I'm learning a lot about Karen right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Here was my thorn this past gardening season. We have a lovely patch of volunteer aspen trees that were really just little babies now, but that we culled into some sort of area in our front yard. I thought it would be lovely to have the whole area look very rustic and to really lean into the volunteer nature of the aspens. So we planted wildflowers and some columbines and other flowers and plants that do well even in higher elevations in Colorado. I had it in my head imagined a kind of mountainside retreat with wildflowers and twinkling aspens.
Aww.
Nothing took.
Oh.
Not a single plant. Not even the columbine. I'm not sure where I went wrong exactly. Perhaps the honey locust tree adjacent to the aspens provided too much shade? Oh, isn't that interesting? They both have honey locust trees.
Yeah.
Perhaps we planted them too late in the season? Who knows? I don't. But I imagine I will try again. After all, my garden forgave me. So much love, Karen.
Oh, that's nice. I love that idea of having like a little bit of mountainscape in your front yard.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, the thing about aspens, mm-hmm. they don't do that great down here. They will be good for a while, and then they just die.
Yes. I'm hoping that someday they will develop a new breed of aspen mm-hmm. that will do well at the Denver. And, you know, and Denver elevation is 5280.
I know.
But aspen, Colorado, is at 9,000 feet.
There you go.
Yeah, they don't do very well. I have often dreamed of that also. But yeah. Maybe that's okay to have aspen that last 10 years. But
it is okay, especially if they're twinkling aspens, as she put it. I love that.
Yeah, and sometimes I've done those wildflower seeds too, and they just don't take off.
I don't know how big a honey locust is, but it is very possible that there was too much shade.
Mm.
That sure is possible, don't you think? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be. But, you know, columbine don't need that much sun.
Well, I have columbine.
My columbine are in the shady area. They're all underneath my tree on the side there.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, that's the mystery of gardening. Well, thank you, Karen and Catherine, for writing to our mailbag. We loved hearing about your gardens from last year and are sending you the best wishes for your upcoming gardens.
Other people could do that too, couldn't they?
Yes, they could.
They could write to us. Okay, thank you, folks.
At upsidedowntulips.com or at upsidedowntulips@gmail.
There you go.
The snow is falling really hard, and I so want to get out in the garden. I could sure use some inspiration. Edith, tell us you have some.
I do. Christy, I brought some inspiration with me. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Did you ever wish that fireworks were incredibly quiet and also didn't disappear so quickly, and also you could keep them in your home, and also you could hold them in your hands? Because if so, I'd love to introduce you to flowers. Johnny Sun, author and illustrator.
That is a flower.
Isn't that nice?
A firework you can hold in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Keep in your home, and they're quiet. You love flowers. I figured
That's
you
right.
would love this.
That's right. And they won't scare your dogs.
That's right.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
Oh, good.
Well, friends, you've come to the end of another episode of Upside Down Tulips. We are Edith Weiss and Christy Montour-Larson.
Thanks to our garden party.
And thank you very much to Denise Gentilini for composing and performing the Upside Down Tulips theme song.
Do you want more? Well, then go to denisegentilini.com. Or you can find that link at upsidedowntulips.com.
And many thanks to the many talents and kind heart of Peter Trin.
Thank you to our excellent yet enigmatic engineer.
Join us in July for an episode all about summer gardening that will delight and amaze you.
Now don't forget, if you make a mistake,
your garden will forgive you.
Amen.
Upside down.
Are people going to recognize my voice right now? I haven't even introduced
Who are you?
I'm Edith. Oh. I used to be on this all the time.